opportunity and honor our sermon series, Not a Fan. And this sermon series, we're in our fifth week now of it. And we've been going through and talking about these different ways to understand this basic concept. Are we a fan or are we a follower? Like, are we a fan of Christ? We go, I like what he did. Or do we follow him with our lives? Do we give him our lives fully? And this is a challenging sermon series, specifically because it's asking some tough questions. And it's putting people on the spot. And it's making you kind of look and go, where am I at with God? Do I just kind of like the idea of being a Christian? Do I like the idea of love and free grace and mercy and forgiveness? Or do I follow God with my life? Do I have a real relationship with him? And I was actually talking to a gentleman this morning and talking to him. And he's like, I'll be honest, Kelly, I heard you preach a message and I was pretty ticked at you afterwards. Me and my wife went home and went, well, I don't like what he said at all. He said, and then we started thinking about it. We're pretty aggravated and then went, well, boy, that really is how it should be, though. Boy, that's really, maybe we should think about that. It's like, the more we thought about it, the more we realized we got what you were saying. It wasn't like, you have to be all in or get out of here. It's, we want us all in. We want people to have a real relationship with God. A relationship where you are relying on him in all things. Where his strength is your weakness. Where you are going through things and you go, when I'm struggling, God is my strength through that. I realize I can't do it on my own. And many of us don't realize that we're a lot of us in the same boat. Going through some of the same things. Going through some of the same struggles. Some of us, when we have sin in our life and these difficulties, they show real easy. When you sit there and you struggle with drug addiction, it shows pretty quick. If you've been in a relationship and something's happened and people can see that sin in your life, they're like, oh, look at that, it's right there. But many of us have sin that hides inside our hearts. Many of us, if you entered our homes, would go, ooh, there's sin there. They're struggling. But we don't like to show it because we like people to like us. But the more we open up, the more we're open with each other, we realize all of us need God every single day to make it through. And none of us can do it on our own. We start looking around and we're not sitting here. I know I've come into church many times and been like, everyone has it together for me. Look how well they're doing. Everyone's here. They're praising God. Everything's great. And I'm falling apart with them. I think the more we recognize all of us have been there at some point in our lives, most of us will be there again. We recognize we need each other, but more we need each other because we have God in our life. We can encourage and lift each other up. So this sermon series is talking about that. Follow God with your life. Follow him with everything that's inside you. Let every decision you make rest in him. When you go to the grocery store, when you're checking out, how do you treat the people? When you're waiting in line for something and you're going, come on. Do we see them with God's eyes? Do we see them with our own broken hearts? Even in traffic, for me, this is one of them. I get very frustrated with people when they don't know how to drive. And I will tell you that it just drives me nuts. I'm like, I'm a good driver. My wife would be like, But I'll sit there and like, I can't stand it when people aren't paying attention. Like, pay attention. You're driving. Look around the road. I came up to a traffic light the other day, just this last week. I came up and I'm waiting behind someone and I'm waiting to turn right. And they're in front of me waiting to turn right as well. It's a red light. I'm looking. I'm like, there's no traffic coming. You stop, go. And I'm waiting there. And I'm like, I bet they're on their phone. I bet they're texting. I bet they're not paying attention. They're watching a YouTube video or something while they're driving. Right? And I'm getting ready to start honking the horn. Because I'm frustrated at this point. Like, come on, I got somewhere to go. You're just sitting there. And before I hit the horn, thank goodness, I look up and there's this little sign. I don't know if you can see here. No turn on red. Right? And I'm sitting there going, ugh. In my mind, I'm like, that person sucks. Come on, let's go, right? And then I'm like, no, I suck. Like, holy cow, I was getting ready to start honking the horn. They're like, it says no turn on red. And I think part of the reason that sometimes times I miss that is if you're on the road and you look around, right, you see so many signs, right? Like, no U-turns, make sure you yield, make sure you go below a certain speed limit, you know, make sure you do this, do all that stuff. And it feels like there's so many traffic signs everywhere. How do you follow them all? How do you follow all the different rules there are on the road? I feel like it's like, you know, there's rules everywhere, right? And there's all these laws, and if I don't follow each one and see each little thing, man, I'll get a ticket, I'll get in trouble, and there's so many signs. How do you do it? I think a lot of times, that's how religion feels. That's how religion feels. There's so many rules. I have to follow all these different rules. If I want to be a Christian, I have to do this, and this, and this. I have to follow all these things, right? Love your enemies. Forgive others, don't murder, right? Like, there's these rules that I have to follow to be a good Christian. Well, today, we're going to talk about something a little different. We're going to talk about what it means to be a follower and understand that it's more than rules. Understand that to love God, to have God in your life, to have a relationship with Him, means it's more than just the rules. And I grew up in a Baptist church. It was all about the rules, right? If you do this, that's wrong. If you do this, good job, right? And I grew up that way, and that was kind of how, and in my parents, when I was being raised, my parents had done something called raising kids God's way. And it was kind of this idea, if you hold them right in this line the whole way, this is what they'll be, right? I don't know if anyone's ever tried that, but if you do everything perfect with your kids, you still have no idea, right? You don't know where it's going to turn out. But for me, it was always, hey, follow this rule. And if you follow the rules and stay within this line, this is what it'll be. But for me, I always felt it was just like, do this rule because, and if you do this rule because, that'll be good. And good job. And you get a prize. But if you don't, there's a consequence. Me and my friend added up one time, my high school life, for 4 years of high school, I was grounded for 2 out of the 4 years of high school when you added it all up. Which brings us to another point. There are two kinds of people. Rule followers. Who's a rule follower in here? Who likes rules and likes to follow them, right? That's a couple people. Okay. Yeah, Allie, I know that. Yep, okay. There's a couple people who are rule followers. Who here is a rule breaker? Yeah, that's me. I was the rule breaker. If there's a rule, I'm like, how far can I push it before it bends? And maybe I'll bend it till it breaks. Like, let's see what happens. That's how I lived most of my life. And I didn't learn by other people's examples. I learned from my failures. So I failed and went, let's not do that again. Did it 2 more times and went, now I really shouldn't do it again, right? I was a rule breaker. That's who I was. But part of it, I think, was because of how I saw the rules. I saw the rules as, there's this rule, and I have to follow it. But I never really understood why. And I never really understood that that rule was there for my protection. That rule was set up as a guideline to keep me in a safe spot. The rule was not set up to limit my happiness or to limit my joy. It was there to protect me from the things of this world. So I think a lot of times we forget that rules, because if you look in the Bible, there's rules. There's laws. You look in the Old Testament, there's a lot of laws, right? And that's a whole nother discussion, but understanding, we need to understand when we read the Old Testament and we read the New Testament, they're different. The Old Testament shows God's glory, shows God's grace, but it also shows God's righteousness, what it means to be righteous and recognizing we can't meet that. I can't follow enough rules to be righteous in front of God. And God said, it's okay. This is what it takes to be righteous. I'll fulfill it on your behalf. Now you live a life in me, and that's the New Testament. Those rules are fulfilled by God so you can live a life in Christ. And so we are going to be talking today about understanding what it means that there's more than rules in our lives. There's more than rules when you follow Christ. example of this, a perfect story, is by Jesus. And we can look at it in John chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. And it says this: Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say?" They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his fingers. First of all, there's a major antagonist in this story, the Pharisees. Okay? The Pharisees were a group of religious leaders, a group of Jewish leaders, who were very much, their purpose was to say, we understand the law of Moses, the law, that is how we have to follow our lives. That law is how we follow God, and when we stay within that law, if you follow it exactly, you can stay righteous with God. There's a truth to that. If you followed every single law perfectly in the Old Testament, that showed righteousness. Guess what? If you failed at one bit at one time, it's gone. Forever and ever. Because God says, this is righteousness. And if you don't have it perfectly, you have it, don't have it at all. Only with me can it be perfected. So the Pharisees were sitting there. They were this group that was very, very big on the rules. We have to follow the rules. We have to follow the laws. This is what's important. And Jesus, as he goes through his ministry, you see over and over, this is the group he pounds on. He just drives it home with them of like, nope, that's not it. That's not how it works. And the Pharisees really kind of get a bad name. And it's not because of the laws they were trying to follow. It was their heart in the process. And Jesus talks about this in Matthew 23, 1-5. He says, Jesus said to the crowds, "The teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. So practice and obey what they tell you, but don't follow their example, for they don't practice what they teach. They crush people with unbearable religious demands, and yet never lift a finger to ease the burden. Everything they do is for show." See, Jesus came down hard on them, not because of the law they were teaching. He was saying, they teach the law, follow their instructions, but don't follow them. Because what they're teaching is true, but where their heart is not. They're sitting there and they're putting this unbearable burden on top of your shoulders. Yet they don't lift a finger to help. It's just for show. It's like if I came in here and said, this is what you need to do. You do A, B, and C. And if you fail, you're hosed. It's over. It's gone. Bye. And I walked out. And I didn't show you any of how God has already figured that out. How he's already made it perfect for you. How he's already made it possible for you to have a relationship with him. And I just showed you how you were going to fail. Where would that leave you? It would leave you in a place where you sat there and went, no hope. There's no hope for me because I continue to fail. There's no hope for me because I have no hope in these laws. I have no hope in these rules. There were harsh words Jesus said by him that you'd be that they crush you with unbearable demands. So Jesus, as he's talking to this crowd, and the Pharisees bring a woman before him, and they start saying these things. Jesus sits down, he's like, all right, what's going on? There's a lot of issues in this story. There's a lot of struggles in this story, and there's a lot of problems with this story. Here are some of the issues that I see in this story. The first one is that a woman was caught in the act of adultery. Think about what that means. She was caught in the act while it was happening. They caught her, which means either she was set up or someone found out, and they rushed into the home and grabbed her in the middle of this act. So that's number one. This was a bad situation when they found her. But one of the problems caught in the act of adultery. That's kind of a two-person show. That's not all on your own. And yet she was the only one that was dragged out here. She was the only one that was brought forth. And the Pharisees are bringing her before Jesus, yet they didn't bring the other party. Either he ran away, but it doesn't give any indication because they would have said, the other man ran away, we tried to bring him. They just brought her and said, here's the problem. She committed adultery. You should stone her. That's what the law says. What do you say? That line, the law says, right? They were so focused on the law. They were so focused that she did this, that's it. This is what happens because of it. But that's all they could see. They brought her before Jesus, said, here's the law, she's supposed to be stoned. What do you say should happen? Now, you have to understand what the law was here, that there were two laws going on at the same time. You had Jewish law, which said, if this happens, here's the result of it. If you commit adultery, you get stoned, you are killed. But you also had the Roman law, and this Roman law said, as Jews, you could not do capital punishment against someone else. So they've got their Mosaic law that says, you need to go and stone her, but they fall under Roman rule that says, if you stone her, you are killed. And they're going, so they bring her before Jesus and say, law says to stone her. What do you say? In my mind, when this happens, the first thing I always think of is, it's a trap, right? From Star Wars. It's my favorite line whenever I feel a trap coming on. It's a trap. We use this in family all the time. Anyone, we have a family group board, like on Facebook, that all of us communicate. Anytime that someone posts there, my mom's like, what do you guys think of this? You'll have five, it's a trap, coming up like just over and over, right? Because it's like, oh, do you think this looks nice on me? Do you think this makes me look fat? Just don't answer. Just stay away from it. It's a trap. This is where Jesus was. He was being trapped by the authorities, by the religious leaders. You have to make a decision. What are you going to say? Because either way he answered, if he said stone her, they're saying you're breaking this law. If you say don't stone her, then you're saying, well, you don't follow the Jewish laws. So Jesus does this amazing thing. He just stoops down and starts drawing in the sand with his finger. Now, we don't know what he wrote in the sand. There's been conjecture saying maybe it was he was writing sins of people. Maybe he was doing something else. But we don't know. So I'm not going to go too far into what it could be because it could be a thousand things. All we know is he got down and he started writing in the sand. But all the religious leaders are still sitting there watching him, waiting for a response. Jesus was in a bit of a pickle. Bit of a pickle. I just had to put that because it's a pickle. It looked cool. But he was in a bit of a pickle. Like, what does he do? How does he make this right? They're trapping him to make him fail, to find evidence against him because he had done no wrong. But they hated what he was saying because he was teaching that what they were teaching was without heart and that they were just about the rules, not about relationships. And Jesus was saying, that's not how it works. It's not, you're not here to follow the rules. You're here to follow God. You're here to have a relationship with God. And so Jesus sits there and he's writing with his finger in the sand. And it says he continues to do that until they kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. And he stooped down again and wrote in the sand. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. One of the things I find most interesting about this story is as Jesus was talking, as Jesus was teaching, as Jesus was being tested by them and put into a trap, he sits there and he never says, stone her or don't stone her. He said, fine. If you want to stone her and follow the law, go ahead. But let the first person who throws the stone be the one who's never sinned in their life. Now remember, these were Pharisees. They understood the law. They understood. All of them had sin in their life. All of them had sin at some point and would probably again. That they were following the law as religiously as they could, but they were following it and they still had sin in their life. So Jesus is saying, if you're without sin, which is saying you're on the same par with God, go ahead, throw that stone. And they walked away one by one. And here's why I love this. Beginning with the oldest. Now, when I was a kid, I just thought that was okay. The older people walked away first. Maybe they were tired of standing. Maybe they just didn't want to be there anymore. But as I've gotten older, I realize that the older I get, the more I recognize my faults. The more I see my brokenness. The more I see how much my life I've turned from God. How many times I've hurt you. How many times I've followed me instead of following him. And I think those religious leaders were sitting the same. Someone who was the oldest one there sat there and went, there's no way. My life is full of sin, even though I try and follow every law. I'm still full of sin. And started walking away. Until the last one was left. Probably the young buck that was like, dude, we could have taken him. All right, let's go. Right? Because he still had some fire in him and didn't really realize what's going on. Until Jesus is there, there's the crowd still surrounding him, but all the Pharisees are gone, and they left the woman there. They didn't take her with. They didn't say, all right, we're going to go before a court. They just left her. That also says to me, what was the real evidence they had here? What was going on? They just left this woman. They didn't try and take her and do something else. They left her here and left her in front of Jesus. And Jesus is now alone with this woman. And he says these words. Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Think of this woman's life. Think of where she was at. If she was caught in the act of adultery, she was looking at multiple parts of her life falling apart. If she was married and having an adulterous affair, guess what? Her marriage was probably over. If she was single and had an affair with someone else, their marriage is over. She was at the place they were going to stone her. She'd been dragged out there. She was going to be killed by rocks being thrown on top of her until she was dead. This is the moment she's in. Her life is done. She has Jesus stand before her and go, did none of them condemn you? No, Lord. He says, then neither do I. But go and sin no more. Go and change your life. If you were in this moment and your life was falling apart, and now maybe marriage was falling apart, and guess what? You were looking at death. You were seconds away from death. Think of the life change it had on her. She must have been broken. Just broken for God. That her whole life realized only because of Jesus the Christ am I even existing anymore. Think of how her life must have been changed. She was forgiven. She was not condemned. But it wasn't cheap forgiveness. It wasn't God going, Jesus going, you know what? Don't worry about it. It happens to the best of us. Head on home. He didn't cheapen what she had done. He didn't say she didn't do it. He didn't say there's no evidence. He said, I don't condemn you. You're forgiven. But go and sin no more. See, cheap forgiveness would have been, no problem, head on your way. God's forgiveness with grace says you're forgiven. But now you've had an experience with me. Change your life. Turn away from sin. Go away from it. Turn to me. Turn to God. Sin no more so that your life can be changed. sin no more and have a relationship with me. This must have crushed her and lifted her up and changed her from that moment forever. We don't know what happened to her afterwards. We don't know that story. But I know anytime I've had an experience with God, it changes you. It changes you when you recognize that you've been rescued by the Father Almighty. It changes who you are. So there's some things we can learn from this story. There's some things that we can see in this that to recognize how we can live our life, how we can understand that it's more than just rules. The first is this: religious rules can be a burden. And you need to know that. Religious rules can seem like a burden, and they can be a burden. And it all depends on what the reason you have for those rules. My parents set up rules for me that, hey, Kelly, when you come home at night, you need to be home by this time. And in my mind, I sat there and went, I have to be home by that time because you guys don't like me to have fun, right? But my parents understood. When you're out past a certain time, nothing good's going to happen, Kelly. You also understand, hey, if you're out at 1 a.m., a lot of bars are starting to let out. It's not a safe time to be on the road. See, my parents set up rules for me, not because they wanted to limit my joy in life, but because they wanted to protect me because they loved me. And they knew if I operated within these set of rules, if I operated within these certain boundaries, I could have a fulfilled life, a life full of joy, a life that was incredible. So the first thing we need to understand, religious rules can be a burden, but only depending on how you look at them. Only depending on how you see them. If you see them and you see these rules as bad things, it's going to be bad. When I was coaching football, one of the things I always thought and how I decided how to coach and the way I was going to coach is if I coached from fear, is if these kids, if I go, hey, if you do that, you're doing push-ups. If you do that, you're going to run. If I coached from fears, they would do just enough not to get the punishment, right? I'll do this much so I don't get that punishment. But that's where they stop. But if I showed them what they could be, if I inspired them, if I gave them hope for what was to come, they would go to the ends of the world because they're like, I want that. I'm excited for that. And they would go over and above. And it's the same way as it works with religious rules in us. It really depends on how you see God. If you look at God and you sit there and go, the way I see God is he's this guy up there waiting for me, God up there waiting for me just to fail. And when I fail, I'm out. If that's how you see God, then rules suck. Because you know he's just waiting to trip you up. You know he's just waiting for you to fail. But that's not who God is. God set up rules for us, saying live in this way. Because he said, if you live in this way, you can have a relationship with me that is not held by sin. I created you in this world to have a certain life, to live a certain way, to have a relationship with me, to be whole and complete. And if you live within this, your joy is unending. Your life abounds. When you live within this world and this rules I created, you get to have a full life, a complete life. As I've understood what it means to live within God's rules, I don't care about the rules because if I fail the rule, I failed God. I care about the rules because he's loved me and I want to show my love back to him. And within those rules, I have more joy, more comfort, more peace, and honestly, a lot more fun. When I used to live outside the rules, I thought it was fun until you really realized what you had done and the effect it had on your life and others. Only once I really realized what it meant to live within God's rules did I realize they're not a burden. They're means to have a closer relationship with God. And the problem is, rules. when you fail, you identify as, I'm a failure. If I failed the rule, I'm a failure. You start seeing that. When you go, I'm not going to live because of the rules, but I want the rules in my life because I want a relationship with God, you start realizing you're identified as a child of God. That's where your identity is found. And when your identity is in God, setting up these boundaries and these protections around you means you get to live a full life with Him. God can't be in the presence of sin. He is not sin. He is love and perfection and truth and grace and mercy, everything perfect. But He can't live with sin because He is not sin. It's against Him. And He's created a way to say, you've sinned, but it's covered with the blood of Jesus. So now we can have a relationship together. And He says, when you recognize that, change who you are. Change the way you see this world. Change the way you see me. There's grace from God. And rules, just following rules, does not inspire grace. But a relationship with God does. And so that's what this idea of is. It's more than rules. It's not saying we get rid of the rules, but it's more than that. It's not just the rules, it's more than that. See, we need to continue to be obedient, but not rules. If all we do is keep rules and I go, hey, if you do this, I check it off, you got a ding on your record, right? That's being a rule keeper. Just going A, B, C, that equals D. God is saying, look, you can do A through Z. It doesn't matter if you don't have a relationship with me. Rules without relationship mean nothing. So we need to be obedient, but not rule. We need to be obedient with God. We need to have a relationship with God because that relationship leads to obedience. It means we follow from the heart. We follow God. We follow Him. We follow Jesus. Not a fan, but a follower. All in for Him. All in for Him. And out of that comes obedience to the rules. Even in Romans in chapter 6, it says, thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey His teaching we have given you. This teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Notice Paul never said, hey, follow all the rules, and then you'll be right with God. It says, only because God has made you right with Him, now you're not a slave to sin. You get to be owned by this righteous life found in God. And that life in God sets you up so you want to be within that. You recognize those boundaries are set up for your protection so you can have a close relationship with Him. It really comes down to relationship with God leads to life change and not the other way around. If your goal in life is to look at the Bible and to follow the rules, you're going to be missing it. You're going to miss out because of a couple things. One, you won't be able to. It's not possible for you to follow all the rules. It's not possible for you to earn righteousness. It's not possible for any of us to earn righteousness. I can't follow enough rules because I'll fail something. If I live to follow the rules to get a relationship, I'm going at it backwards. But when we have a relationship with God, when we choose to follow Him, not be fans, but follow Him, to give Him our all, to look at every situation and how God would see it, to make every decision based on what God would want for us, what He sees as best for us because His will is perfect and true and wonderful in every way. When we do that, that relationship with God leads to a life of change. It leads to us desiring to be within the rules He set up, to want to forgive others. I don't have to forgive others, and I sit there and go, I have to, and I feel forced to. I sit there and go, God has forgiven this broken, pitiful man who has disease. and he forgave me, I can't wait to forgive others. I can't wait to show God how much I understand that. Love my enemies? That sounds fun. If I was just following the rules, it would sound like a horrible idea, right? Love my enemies? Oh, this is going to be a bad day. But when I understand that God loved me while I was still his enemy, that God didn't say, once you became righteous, that's when I loved you. He said, I loved you while you were mine. I loved you while you were broken. And that love for you is what changed you. And my goodness, I want to find my enemies. I want to find people who hate me. I want to find those who are against me. And I want to love them with everything in me. Because if that's how my heart was changed, is God showing love to me while I was his enemy, how will it affect their lives if I love them while they're mine? See, I don't want to follow the rules so that my relationship gets better with God. I want my relationship to get better with God. I want our relationships to get better, closer with God, so that we understand what it means to live within those rules, that it's a beautiful thing, that it's a life of joy and pain and joy in the pain. Because when you live a life with God, when you follow him with your heart, it becomes more than just a rule. Let's go ahead and pray together. Dear Lord, thank you that we could be here today. Thank you that we could join together, that we could worship you, we could praise you, we could learn about you, God, but really that we can have a relationship with you. For those of us who have already accepted you, God, I pray you would make it so our hearts became more in tune with yours, that we would have a relationship with you. That we would lean into you, God. That we would lean into your perfection. That we wouldn't try and wow you with how good we're trying to be. We wouldn't try and impress you or others, God, with how many of the rules we follow. But that we would have a real, true, deep, meaningful relationship with you, God, where we follow you, where we give you our life, because you deserve it. It's already yours, but we just hand it over to you and go, God, we recognize your authority over us. We recognize your righteousness.